The Nick DeGiglio Show continues here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Skyline Studio, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago, here until 4 a.m. My dad's going to call in and tell a joke, because we do on Monday mornings. And at 4 o'clock, we go over to Bradley Place to the TV side on Channel 9 and the early morning news. You'll hear that from 4 to 5. And then at 5 o'clock, you got Bob Surratt for your Monday morning drive. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. I would like to introduce an artist named China Blue. She is an award-winning international artist who's has created interactive sound artworks. It's really interesting stuff. And she's got a new album called Cassini's Dreams. And we want to say hello to China Blue. China, welcome to the show.
Hey, how are you?
All right, how are you?
Fine. Thank you so much for having me on.
Sure, of course. So tell us about what you do. You know, I mean, you're an artist. Give us a little background on how that started and what you do.
Well, let's see. I'm an artist, and I started in the traditional forms of art making. I made paintings and sculptures, and the kind of more common based forms that everybody knows of. Mm-hmm. And I did that throughout my youth because my parents are artists. So what happened was is that I guess I made a left turn. That's the way to simply put it.
Yeah.
I got interested in technology. And then I got interested in space science.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow they all converged together into this album called Cassini's Dreams. But, you know, that's the super, super short Cliff Note version of it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, now, where are you originally from? What's your background?
I'm originally from California.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm on the East Coast. I spent my college years in New York. I wanted to do what many, many artists fantasize about doing, which is go to New York and have the art experience of being an artist living in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And I did that in the 90s. So it was a very, very different world than what it is now.
Yeah, I bet. Was that experience being an artist in New York? Was it everything that you had thought it would be? Because you get it. Yeah, I'm sure a lot of people have like romantic notions of what it would be like to be an artist in New York. You know.
Well, yeah, it did, and it was a lot more than I ever expected to.
Mm-hmm.
I was surprised to easily meet artists who had become quite famous and became friends of theirs. So that was an exciting part.
Mm-hmm.
I was excited to be able to show in New York, because as soon as I landed, I found a wonderful, and after I finished graduate school, of course, I found a wonderful studio where I was able to basically do whatever I wanted in this massive old factory space.
Mm-hmm.
And build things and experiment with making and finding my way around all the materials and all the ideas that are available to play with in art.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, for a long time, I just played because it was so much fun.
Yeah, yeah. We're talking with China Blue, who is an artist here on 720 WGN on the Nick DeGiglio Show, as we continue our conversation. So I find this really fascinating. When did you discover like converting data into sound, or data sonification, which is one of the things that you do? And how did you get to that place?
Well, while I was playing around in New York, I decided I wanted to focus on sound, because that was one thing that I'd never played around with. And also, it's something very few artists work with.
Mm-hmm.
It's really left of center.
Yeah.
So I decided, well, why not go where there's there's opportunities to do something new. And so I put myself on the path of investigating sound. I guess that's the best way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
And I did a lot of research. I went to talk to a lot of people about what to do, how to begin, what kind of tools I need, what kind of software do I need. There was a little window in the 70s when sound art was a thing. So I talked to artists who were working with sound then and what they were doing with it.
Yeah.
And so I did this big, massive investigation, which is what I often do because I like to do research, and to find out what was then and think about what to do now while I was building my tools and learning how to use, you know, a computer for the first time.
Yeah.
That sort of thing. It was really bare bones, starting at the very bottom. And the funny thing was is that as I was doing all this and finding my way through sound, I was discovering that, oh dear, a lot of the people that had stumbled into sound art in the 70s started out as musicians. Well, I wasn't a musician.
Yeah.
These were people that all knew about, already had the tools available to them. They already knew what the rituals were with music, knew that in order to break away from music, you had to do something that was completely different, and that was just to pare it down to the raw and essential sounds.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was starting from a different world, and I thought, okay, that's fine. It's good to be different.
Okay. Now, go ahead.
Yeah. You had a question?
Yeah, no, I was going to ask about, I'm looking here, and it says that you uncovered hidden acoustics embedded in the iron of the Eiffel Tower?
Oh, yeah, it led up to that.
How did that happen?
Well, you know, as I'm wandering around through the world of sound and trying to find interesting sounds that are going to be jumping off points for building new work.
Mm-hmm.
I took a trip to Paris for a week for a short little trip that I needed to do, and I was looking up at the Eiffel Tower, and I thought, oh, I wonder what it sounds like. Well, you know, when you have those kind of weird ideas, you just put it away and say, aha, that's really a funny, weird idea. But what I thought was, well, what if you didn't stuff it away and stick it in your freezer and ignore it? But let's see what would happen if I tried to do something with it. So I just, you know, sent a couple of emails out, and of course I didn't get an answer. And the next thing I tried was to make a phone call. I called the Eiffel Tower.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, would you be interested? And they said, is this for art? That was my bad French accent. Sorry about that.
Okay.
And I said, yes. And they said, that was fine.
Mm-hmm.
Why not? So all of a sudden, you know, this little fantasy became, oh, my gosh, I'm going to have to do it now. I hadn't even thought about what I was going to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was just like a little personal challenge to see if I could get an okay. So I put together a team, got a massive amounts of equipment, went to Paris and set up basically a sound recording station. And we recorded everything we could possibly find in the Eiffel Tower from the basement where they have these beautiful, beautiful machines dating back to the 1800s to the very, very top and everything in between. We spent a full day there, seven people running around recording everything we could find. And it became this massive, massive inventory of fascinating sounds. But one that I found really, really compelling was, which I felt was really the voice of the Eiffel Tower. that was something that was identifiable. And it was from putting recording instruments actually on the iron, and that captured the vibrations of the iron because it was like a windy fall day,
mm-hmm.
and the wind, and you could hear the wind vibrating the iron. You could hear the elevators moving up and down and creating their particular vibration. And then on top of that, every once in a while, the iron would filter voices.
Mm.
So you'd have these filter. So it became like this filter of everything that happened around it.
Mm. All right.
And that is, you know, what ended up being Under Voices, which is a earlier CD that I did.
Oh, okay. Hold on a second. Next, we'll take a listen to the sounds of Saturn's rings, which is a truly unique experience to hear a planet. More with artist China Blue here on the Nick DiGilio Show on 720 WGN. The Nick DiGilio Show continues here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Skyline studio here until 4 a.m. My dad's going to call in and tell a joke because that's what we do. And we're going to talk about some weird American traditions. 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you would like to join us. Right now, I'd like to get back to the conversation with China Blue, who is an artist. China...
yeah.
Let's talk about your music, okay? We talked a little bit about it before, but the hidden sounds, and where did that interest come from? And let's talk a little bit about your music. What inspires you?
Well, so many things inspire the music, but this particular piece, Cassini's Dreams, mm-hmm. was actually inspired by the spacecraft Cassini, who flew around Saturn for 20 years doing research, and it was an amazing story because it was the first time ever. But what I was interested in when I looked at those images that Cassini sent down to Earth,
mm-hmm.
was from the very North Pole. When you look down onto Saturn, you see this big round shape of Saturn, and then you see the rings around it. And in my eye, it looks like an LP.
Mm.
And I was looking at that, and I said, huh, I wonder if there are sounds there.
Mm-hmm.
Being the sound person that I am, I put together a team, combining myself with a space scientist, as well as a neuroscientist who happened to be the same person, strangely enough, and we went looking. What we did was looked at the data, and Cassini was sending down data all the time. We're still wading through all the data that it sent down. So we spent a long time looking through the data to see if we could find an area that would make interest, that would be sonified, as you put it. So I was able to find some sections that looked like they would be really good, and we were able to actually find the sounds hidden in Saturn's rings. Mm-hmm. And this was for NASA.
So you worked with NASA to find the sounds. But when you first heard them, what was your reaction?
Well, when I first heard them, I was excited, you know?
Yeah.
Because it was, oh my gosh, nobody's ever done this before. And then it was, oh, but they're kind of like noise. Nobody's going to be interested in them because we have musically oriented ears. We have so much music in our world that everybody is thinking and exposed to the rhythms and the melodies and the wonderful things that music brings us. And so what I decided to do was work with my dear friend Lance Massey, who is the guy who created the T-Mobile ringtone,
mm-hmm.
that I think almost everybody knows.
Yep.
And I said to him, I said, well, what do you think? Can we put something together with this? And fortunately, I kind of knew what his answer would be because I've worked with him for, 15 years now. So we have a really, really good relationship. And he's going, cool.
Yeah.
Lance is a man of few words.
Okay.
Cool.
So you guys worked together on this, and the Cassini's Dreams is the outcome. Let's hear a little bit of this. So let's listen to a little bit of it here. That's really that. So, how much of that is directly from the sounds of Saturn?
The
yeah,
in the very very beginning is the sending the data to Earth.
Okay,
and there are various themes that we structured in so that you would have something that was identifiable. So, and also it references the data, which is all behind the music.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that we wanted to do was we wanted to give it a vantage point. So the vantage point, and it's the reason why it's titled Cassini's Dreams, is it's from the inside of Cassini, the spacecraft.
Mm-hmm.
And if you imagine yourself inside the spacecraft flying around the skies and in between the rings, those beautiful rings, if you imagine yourself being in the spacecraft, it's an interesting position to be in because there's all this ice flowing around and rocks, and the gravitational force are all things that we've tried to capture in the work.
Mm-hmm. And so now, so working with Lance Massey on this, how did that partnership? How did you guys work together?
Well, what we do is we come up with a structure. With Cassini's Dreams, we have a structure, basically like the one I described to you, where it was the vantage point of Cassini that
right.
that you could hear the works from.
Right,
and then. There are different elements of the rings that are fascinating that Cassini was able to identify. For example, in track 5, it's called Propellers and Spokes, there are little moonlets, little tiny moons that are stuck in the rings, and they cause the rings to create little waves.
Mm. Can we hear, let's listen to this that you were just talking about. Let's hear that a little bit. Wow, that's really interesting stuff right there, Shina.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, wow, fascinating stuff. And have you always been interested in, has sound been one of the things that you have always been interested in?
It's been a part of my life for a very, very long time, but it's only until I decided to focus on it that it became such a dominant thing.
Mm-hmm.
And as in these two examples, what you can see is that I end up looking for sounds that we don't hear normally in our own ears.
Mm-hmm.
So I think of them as sort of the unheard world that we that exists around us, like hidden in the Eiffel Tower, or as a part of the rings of Saturn. And then I find a way to let everybody else listen in to what I'm thinking about and finding.
That sounds really, that's fascinating stuff. China, hang on for a second, okay?
Yeah, sure.
We're having a conversation with China Blue, 312-981-7200. She's an artist. And Cassini's Dreams is the latest work that she's doing. And we'll talk more about that with China right here on 720 WGN as the Nick DiGilio Show continues. The Nick DiGilio Show continues here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Skyline Studio in downtown Chicago here until 4. My dad's going to call in and tell a joke. We're going to talk about some weird traditions that America has and more. 312-981-7200 if you would like to join us here on 720 WGN. Currently, we are chatting with China Blue, who is an artist, and has put together an album called Cassini's Dreams, and in a very unique way. China, are you always looking for other sounds, finding other sounds in the universe? Everything that, you know, does everything that you see, do you immediately think, I wonder what that sounds like?
That's what it's come to.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, I'm doing crazy things, as you can imagine, right?
Yeah.
I'm racking my brains right now to try and to think about some examples for you, because I've done some one really silly thing, which was I wanted to see if there were sounds in a tree.
Mm-hmm.
If a tree heard sounds, and I think it was interesting because I have this maple tree, which is it used to be right outside of my door on my property,
mm-hmm.
and so I put a microphone. I drilled a little hole in it, not too deep, and put a microphone in it to record the sounds inside of the maple tree, hoping that I would capture the sound of the sap running through it.
Mm-hmm.
But that didn't happen. But it did kind of work like recording the Eiffel Tower, because I lived near a train line, and the train went by, and the tree acted as a filter again, filtering the sound of the train going by, and you could hear it going muffled. So a lot of times I realize after the fact that, oh yeah, that's logical, but before I approach it, one's imagination goes in a different direction. I think I'm kind of like a scientist. I come up with a theory and I want to see if I can prove it or see what the results would be. And oftentimes I am quite surprised with what I end up with.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost always a surprise. It's that's what makes it so much fun.
Mm-hmm. Now, you used an algorithm to help produce the music. What is algorithmic music?
Algorithmic music is basically math.
Mm-hmm.
As algorithms are math structures that we have all heard about in terms of structuring and driving code for a lot of things that we understand and deal with in our world now. But what Lance did was he came up with an algorithm to drive the music, and there were some basic parameters again that he set up to establish what the basis of the algorithm would be, and so that's the structure behind it.
Okay,
but it's not it's not the be all and end all, because you always have to come back in and augment it. For Cassini's dreams, I thought it was important to have some kind of a melodic component to it, so that had to be structured into it also.
Mm.
So there are a couple of layers of events that are occurring all at the same time. And with music, that's one way to approach it.
Mm-hmm.
I started out as a painter, and the idea of layering is something that's very, very common to painters, which is you play with the density and the transparency and the translucency of the materials to come up with a result that you find pleasing.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
And so dealing with layers is the idea is something that is used also in music.
Mm-hmm.
It's used in a lot of places. But those are two examples.
It's the Nick DiGilio Show continuing here. We're chatting with China Blue, who is an artist whose latest is Cassini's Dreams. How long did the project take to do, China?
Ooh, great question. I hadn't thought about that. I would say from beginning to end, I would guess about a year.
About a year.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. And are you working on anything now that is sound related or similar to what you did with Cassini's Dreams?
Well, as you know, I'm an artist,
yeah.
And I'm not totally limited to music and sound. I also make what are called installations, where you make, it's basically filling a whole room with work. And it's taking over a room, I guess that would be a better way of putting it.
Right.
So I made based on this music, I made a piece recently also called Cassini's Dreams, which was actually a visual illustration of what I did. I made a 3D print of Cassini, and I stuck a laser in it.
Mm-hmm.
The laser was pointing at an inflatable of Saturn, very large, 6-foot diameter inflatable of Saturn, and then the laser converted the ring texture into sound.
Wow.
So it was a illustration of my process.
I see. So where do you do a lot of installation pieces, or is that something that you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it's my favorite style. That one I showed, I don't know if your listeners are familiar, but I showed it at the Venice Biennale, which is considered the most important exhibition space for an artist to show in their lifetime.
Mm.
It's just like people, I have lived my whole life to show there, and many, many of my friends have. And so I was really excited to be able to show this work there, it just closed in November.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm doing is I'm playing around with ideas right now of how to extend that idea, go past the rings and into the moons. And if you have been on top of the news lately, about a month or so ago, they discovered that Saturn now has 82 moons.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to me, that's pretty amazing. Because I look up at our sky, and I only see one.
Right, right.
I've only ever seen one.
Right.
But if you watch, do you watch any science fiction?
I do, from time to time, sure.
Well, if you pay attention, sometimes when you see these pictures in these movies, like, I can't think of an example right now, but you see this person standing on a weird planet.
Mm-hmm.
And in the distance, there are always two or three or four moons.
Right.
There's lots of moons, not just one. So I'm playing around with the idea of making an installation with 3D prints of Saturn's moons.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I can't do them to size because, of course, they're quite big.
Right, yes.
But it's something that I'm playing around with to figure out, okay, how big would they be, what they look like. Their illumination, I'd like to have them illuminated, so I'm planning how to make them light up, fade on, and fade off. So you have this beautiful room filled with moonscapes.
Wow, that sounds great. That sounds really great.
Wouldn't that be beautiful?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. China, I want to thank you. It's been really fascinating talking with you, and best of luck with Cassini's Dreams and everything else that you're working on.
Well, thank you so much, Nick.
All right. You have a good morning.
And thank you for your time.
Okay.
Me too.
China Blue, artist, everybody. And it was fun talking to her. Interesting stuff. Really fascinating. Her process is so fascinating. Interesting. All right. We are going to talk about things that Americans do that confuse the rest of the world. Some of the weird traditions we've had, including inspired by, of course, a weird tradition called Groundhog Day, which we just had. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. 312-981-7200. Nick DeGilio Show continues here on 720 WGN.